Everybody is somebody's somebody. So in other words, even if you and I can't do any business, who do you know that you might, well, I can't use your services, but I know Brenda, she's got a team of young people who need some help with networking. So you don't need my help because you're a top-class networker, but Brenda's team does. So let's dismiss nobody.
Welcome to Your Intended Message, the perfect place for leaders and promising professionals who want to convey the intended message for greater success. Every week, we interview experts who address the challenges and best practices to deliver your message effectively. That might be one-to-one, one-to-few, or one-to-many. And perhaps the most important conversation, one-to-self. I'm your host, George Torok. My guest today is Will Kintish. Here's three facts that I think you should know about Will. One, with the ubiquitous use of the smartphone, younger professionals are struggling building relationships the old-fashioned way. Will's expertise and knowledge helps develop their face-to-face networking skills to ensure successful careers. Two, the key to success in today's modern, fast-moving world is to be visible and proactive. Will gives you the tools to be able to do these. And three, hard to believe, but Will is in his 60th year of work and knows his subject matter is as relevant today as it was when he started working. Will Kintish, welcome to Your Intended Message.
Thank you, George. You have covered all the bases right from the start. So everything that you've just reported there is deep in my heart, all about the younger people struggling with face-to-face networking. The fact that having had COVID, so many people would rather hide working from home. And that breaks my heart, thinking that people would believe that they can be successful working in their back bedroom. Well, generally, I don't believe they can.
And Will, and an important point there, there are many people who got used to working at home, not getting out and mixing with other people because it's comfortable, it's convenient, and it takes effort to get out there and meet people and work with people. So let's start with, let's follow Simon Sinek's advice and start with the why. Why is, and we're talking about in-person networking, important to anyone's career?
People have got to know who you are. People have got to know what you do. And people need to know what is going on in the marketplace. And those are the three key reasons why we all need to be out there. And at the end of the day, I believe, George, that the reason people won't go out, whether they work in an office or in their back bedroom, is about lack of self-confidence. The three key fears that I have established in the 20-odd years I've been doing this is fear of rejection. Will anyone talk to me? Fear of the unknown. Oh my goodness, I've got to go into that arena, that deep, dark hole, and what's going to happen? And fear of failure. Because so many people have got what I call imposter syndrome. They think, I'm a young professional. I can't go into that room with more people, with more knowledge, more experience, and more expertise. So my job is to try and destroy those three key fears. And once we can destroy those fears, I'd like to hope that people will be rushing to accept invitations, rushing to meet new people, rushing to reestablish existing connections. That's my why.
And that's a critical why. And naturally, fear is something that we all experience. It's part of our life. So how can you possibly defeat those fears enough to get people out meeting other people?
You've heard the hackneyed phrase, George, practice makes perfect. Well, it doesn't. I was a CPA for 35 years until I got into this career. And I got out of my accountancy life to go into this life by being on a Dale Carnegie course, one of America's great heroes, in my opinion. And Dale Carnegie said that practice doesn't make perfect because we can never, ever be perfect at anything. Practice makes permanent. So answering your question, how can we overcome our fears? It's simply a case of going out there and doing it. And if we don't want to do it alone, this face-to-face attending at events, take a friend with you. Some people might call it a wingman or a wingwoman. Take somebody with you. As long as you don't spend the whole event holding hands in the corner and not talking to anybody, go to an event with a friend, with a member of the family, and work that room together. And that way you'll have that confidence, hopefully at some stage a little later, to be able to do it on your own.
Now, that's a helpful tip, Will, to go with a friend, because there's someone you know who you probably have some relationship already, and you can encourage each other. Now, and you're right, the danger is, though, if you go with your friend, that you spend the whole time with that friend in the corner and not getting out there. So when you go with a friend, how do you keep each other engaged and there for the right purpose?
If they know that they are both going to meet new people, one should be coaching the other by saying, look, we've come all this way to this event. Won't we be wasting our time talking to each other? We've known each other for 20 years. There's a group over there. Let's go and meet them. And it's as simple as that. We go over to what we call the open group. I don't know whether we're going to get on to open and closed groups. We look for a group of two or three people, go up to them, eye contact all two or three of them. That is very important. That when you go up to a group, you look them in the eye, very, very quick, microsecond look, and simply say, hello there. Please, may we join you? And I'm sure it's the same across the pond. 99.99% of people at events, at business events, or even social events are nice people. So by going up to that group and you've been courteous and polite and you've smiled at them and you've given them the eye contact, please, may we join you? They're always going to say, of course you can. And all of a sudden, that group of two goes into four, or that group of three goes into five. And off we go. We start again and we start chatting.
And again, another helpful point, when you approach a group of people, to make eye contact with each person in the group, as opposed to what one might be tempted to do, is only address who they think is the dominant person in the group.
Well, I don't like that sort of thing. Everybody's equal at the start. Everybody, you treat everybody exactly the same. Unless somebody's got, I am a CEO and very important to you, or I'm not much use, I'm representing the caretaker today, you don't know who these people are. So as far as I'm concerned, there's no dominant, they're all dominant until you get to know them. Really important.
And I suppose it's a good reminder, if you're going to a networking event, people are there for the same reason you're there, to meet other people.
100%. And that's what I try to tell people. Everybody's there for the same reason. They're looking for what I call the aha moment, the light bulb moment. We are looking to, going back to our friend Dale Carnegie, we are there to make friends and influence people. Your program today is called Your Intended Message. And the message has to be, you're just going to create new relationships. No selling. Whatever you do, don't go selling other than your personality. Simple as that. And for example, how do we get the show on the road? How do we get that first question out? I mean, the easiest people to join Even if you go, whether if you go on your own, George, the person standing alone against the wall is the easiest person to approach. You go up to them slowly, you smile at them, you look them in the eye and say, hello there, please may I introduce myself? I mean, what can be easier? Or please may I join you? Simple as that. And then you start with that and you introduce yourselves. Now, it's at this moment, a lot of people get it wrong right from the start because 90-odd percent of people admit it to me, I'm rubbish with names. I forget their name immediately. And I say, no, you don't forget their name. You didn't hear it, did you? You're not listening. Names, when it comes to networking, i.e. relationship building, is fundamental. So if I go up to you, I am going to concentrate on listening for your name. If you say it very, very quickly, George Torok, and it's a noisy room and I don't hear it, I'm saying, sorry, tell me again. You're never going to say to me, I've told you once, I'm not going to tell you again. People aren't ever going to say that. But by making sure you get their name, you use their name a couple of times and make sure it sticks. You're not going to remember everybody's name at the event. But whilst I'm talking to you, George, I'm going to remember your name. Because what happens if my friend Mary comes over and I have to introduce you and I've forgotten your name? That is very, very embarrassing. And you're not going to feel good about me because I've forgotten your name. So I work very hard at remembering your name. Now, maybe 20 minutes later, when I've gone off, met other groups, I might have forgotten your name. But while you and I are in that conversation, your name is going to stick with me. Very important. And talking of names, most people aren't good with names, as I've already said to you. So when I introduce myself, I don't just say Will Kintish, because I've got a slightly difficult name. I say, hello there, my name is Will. Pause. Will Kintish. In other words, the reverse of the James Bond. He used to say, my name's Bond, James Bond. So we don't say that. My name is Will. Will Kintish. And hopefully they might just remember it. So names, when it comes to the start of the relationship, is so important.
And Will, is it okay if we just use first names?
As far as I'm concerned, I'll either say, my name is Will Kintish, or more often than not, I'll go up to you and say, may I introduce myself? My name is Will. Because more often than not, people will mirror the way you do it. So if I say my name's Will, you'll say I'm George. And at that moment, that critical second, you think, hello, George, repeat your name. Hello, George, nice to meet you. And then we have to look for the icebreaker. And my strong advice is never start with, what do you do? Because one of the people who've been a major influence in my life, and I would love to meet him, is a man called Reid Hoffman. Reid Hoffman was one of the founders of LinkedIn, and he's written a wonderful book called The Start of a View. And one of the things he said in the last 6 to 12 months was, now, bearing in mind, he created social networking along with Facebook, etc. He said this, George, networking is a people thing, not a business thing. And I thought, yes, 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 yes. So never start with what do you do? When I turn up at an event, I'll say, hello there, where have you traveled from today? Hello there, what made you come to the event today? Hello there, if it's a hosted event by a bank, what's your connection with the bank? If it's in a magnificent conference center, I say, isn't this a wonderful room? Look at that chandelier. Something nice and simple to get the show on the road, but never with what do you do? Because if you do that and they do that and you've nothing in common, you've got nowhere to go. So start with something relevant to that moment at that event.
And Will, I'm thinking, and yes, I've encountered that, what do you do? And I've seen where if each person then answers that question, what they do, and then both of us look at each other and say, well, I don't need any of that, so but goodbye.
Exactly. So let's get to know the person, not what they do. Mm. That's the critical bit that I want people to take away with them. And who knows? Sometimes you have conversations and you really like that person. You're right, there may be no business at all, but remember this. Everybody is somebody's somebody. So in other words, even if you and I can't do any business, who do you know that you might, well, I can't use your services, but I know Brenda, she's got a team of young people who need some help with networking. So you don't need my help because you're a top-class networker, but Brenda's team does. So let's dismiss nobody. Critical, that bit.
And that's worth repeating, Will. Everybody is somebody's somebody.
True, isn't it? You just don't know who's in that. And that's why I love going to the events. It's like going into a mystery hall. Who's going to be there? Who are we going to meet? What are they going to say? What am I going to learn? I just love it. So let's go back to the fears. Fear of rejection. Will anyone talk to me? Well, in my training and in my speeches, here's my retort to that one, George. I don't care if nobody talks to you because you're going to be proactive. You're going to talk to them. Where you see that person standing alone or you see a couple standing in open format, in other words, in a V shape, you go up to them. Don't waste your time in the corner waiting for somebody to come and talk to you. Fear of rejection. Do you know the acronym FEAR? F-E-A-R. I'm sure you've heard of it. False expectations appearing real. The chances of you going up to somebody and say, hello, can I introduce myself? What are the chances, George, of them looking at you and saying, you know what? I don't like the look of you. Get lost. I mean, come on. That's never, ever going to happen, is it? And you know what? If somebody is that rude, do you want to get to know them? Of course you don't. So that's fear of rejection. Fear of the unknown. What's going to happen? Well, the one piece of information that many, many people don't know, and I hope never, ever forget, is that every room we've ever been in, and whether it's across there or here, a social event, whatever event where there's a group of people, there are only six formats of people in the room. And this is going to reduce our unknowns. There is the person standing on their own. There are couples standing in open format in a V shape. And there are trios standing in a quasi or a semicircle. Those are called the open groups. They are the welcoming groups or the green groups, as I call them. And their body language is saying, come and join us. The three groups that aren't quite as easy to join are the closed two people facing each other. The closed three, a triangle, or the four or more, the four or fives, where they're all looking inwards. And subconsciously, their body language is saying, at this moment, we're very, very comfortable, thank you. We'd rather you didn't join us. So when you walk into that room, analyze the room before you start working the room. And the greatest piece of advice I have to give to people who struggle with working the room is get there early. Because the later you get there, the more the groups will be closed up. Because even the introverted introvert will have been dragged off the wall into a group. So the groups are already formed. Whereas if you get there early, I believe you're in command and control of the situation, whereas the later you get there, the harder it becomes.
Mm.
So we've talked about fear of rejection. We've talked about the fear of the unknown. And the other parts of the unknown is, for goodness sake, do some preparation and planning. Find out what the format is. If possible, if the organizer will give you a list of other delegates, get a list. Make sure you know where it is. Make sure you know what the dress code is. Just do enough research so that when you walk in there, you know what's going to happen. And the last fear is, and this is a lot with young professional people, fear of failure. Get involved in conversations with people where they don't know the answer. And I say to them, that's brilliant. If you genuinely don't know the answer, say, you know what, George? You just said something there and I don't understand it. Can you explain that a bit more to me? Can you tell me what you mean by that? because you know more about it than me. And as long as you're genuine about that, isn't that a great way of building a relationship? So again, I'm talking about the intended message from the junior to the senior is, you are a senior. You know more about this than me. So tell me, explain to me. Don't worry about it. And if you think you should know, put your hand up and say, you know, perhaps I ought to know that, but I haven't come across it, or maybe I've forgotten it. Being self-deprecating and showing vulnerability are two great traits when it comes to networking.
Showing vulnerability. And how can one do that in a way without making a fool?
Well, you're saying, I don't know. You're being vulnerable. Or even if you spill some wine on your white shirt, you know, say, oh my goodness, you know, when I get home tonight, I'm going to be in bother. I don't know whether this, just lap it off. Just be self-deprecating, make fun. Don't say, oh my goodness, and rush off to the restroom and go, nah, people will be sympathetic and people will like you for it. Because the one thing I haven't said today is, networking is building relationships, and the three key steps to building relationships are as follows. Know, K-N-O-W, like, and trust. Every single relationship, George, you and I have built ever since we started our lives in communication of talking, every relationship has to start with something, with a know, K-N-O-W. And of course, we want to be known by more people. And you said at the beginning, why do we go to events? Because we want to be known by others and we want to know others. But the next word for me is the most important. Like. If people don't like us for whatever reason, they don't want to do business with us, they don't want to give us a job, they don't want to introduce us to anybody, they don't want to help or support us. So our role is to get people to like us. And the way we do that, one of the ways, and again, I go back to my late friend Dale Carnegie, he said, we have to be more interested than interesting. The most interesting people we meet are those who are most interested in us. So it's all about asking the right questions, insightful questions, and being genuinely interested, George, not just interested, being genuinely interested. And I don't know what it's like with you, but I find that very rarely do people ask me questions at the start. I always feel as though I have to take control of the situation by asking them questions. And if people don't ask you questions, what's the message? They're not interested in you. They don't care what you have to say. They're not interested in learning anything. That is bad for relationship building. It really is. So being a good questioner is the number one core skill of effective networking. So I've mentioned asking, let me just finish on this one. Know, like, and trust. How do we get people to trust us early on in a relationship? It's very simple. So simple. We have to be reliable. So if I meet you at an event and I promise to send you a latest report on something, or I promise to call you to continue our conversation next week, or I promise to introduce you to somebody that could be useful for you, make sure you do it. And here's one for you. Speed stuns. If I get back home after an event and I promise to send you my latest topic on X, if I can do it before the day shuts down, I will do it for you. And hopefully when you get it, wow, I only met Will at lunchtime and he's kindly sent me whatever it is. And when I had staff in my accounting office and when I had staff in the job I'm in, I used to tell them there's only two rules to follow when you work with Will Kintish. When you work with Will Kintish, you can't fail when A, you do what you say you're going to do, and B, when you say you're going to do it, when you say you're going to do it. In other words, make sure you're reliable. Don't let your colleagues down at work, and needless to say, don't let your clients down. So important. I used to tell my accounting staff, our clients don't know how good accountants we are because they're not accountants, but they do know whether they can trust us by promising certain information. If we say to a client, you can have that information by Wednesday, Get it to them on Tuesday. That's a great accountant. Get it to them on Thursday. You're a rubbish accountant because you've let them down.
Speed stuns. Powerful message right there, Will. That's that in itself is worth remembering. Now, how getting ready for the networking event? How can one get one's mindset in the right place, and in terms of expectations and whatever self-talk, so that it is successful no matter what happens?
Well, on my desk over there, George, I have a block, and it says attitude is everything. And it's as simple as that. You've heard the phrase, if you think you can, you can. If you think you can't, you can't. And at the end of the day, if you're going to an event thinking, this is going to be boring, I'll just go for half an hour so I can tell the boss that I've been, that is going to be a great failure for you. Whereas if you think, tonight I've got 2 hours, I'm going to see who I can meet, I'm going to see what I can learn, but most importantly, I can see how I can support people. The number one principle of networking is, what can I do for you? Who can I introduce you to? But again, at the end of the day, we've got to help ourselves as well. Who do you know who? Who do you know who can introduce me to? And I've learned this. If you don't ask, you don't give the other person an opportunity to say yes. We've heard the phrase, if you don't ask, you don't get. But my phrase is even more powerful. I mean, for example, I met a Lord Stuart Palin, I think his surname is, and I belong to a social group. And I hardly knew this guy. And I said to him recently, Lord Stuart, we'd love a tour around the House of Lords, you know, in our government, the UK government. And I said this to him, if I was to ask you, would you give me and my 20 friends a tour around the House of Lords, how would you react? He got his phone out. He said, take this email down. I said, what's the email? He said, write to my PA, my researcher, write to her, and she will organize the trip. What's the worst people can say if you don't ask? Just ask.
Mm. Mm.
And I always say, if I was to ask you, if I'm not sure about it, I always say, if I was to ask you, and then ask the question. And it sort of takes the sting out of it a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. If I was to ask you, so you're not asking directly, you're not putting them on the spot, and they could politely bow out, or they could give you an answer that might be negative, but it's not as hurtful because you didn't ask. You were only asking if you would ask.
You got it. For example, on my feedback sheets after my training, there's a little box said, if you were telling somebody about today's training, what would you say?
Oh, that is a powerful phrase there, Will.
And then it says below it, unless you tick a box, I might use your comments on my website for testimonials.
Mm.
Do you like that?
I like it. That powerful advice there. Will, let's mention your book. For people who'd like to know a lot more about networking, let's mention your book. The title is Business Networking, The Survival Guide, and we will have a link in the description below. Will, who's this book for, and how will it help them?
It will show them exactly what to do and how to get the right mindset. It will show them, and I mean show them and tell them, what questions to ask. We've already talked about the icebreaker questions. Don't ask. It will tell them about small talk. Small talk, George, is the glue that binds and bonds a relationship. It's never the business talk. It's always the small talk. If you and I both go skydiving, if you and I did scuba diving, if you and I played golf, and we found that out soon, guess what? We've created a bond there. Whether we'll do business, I don't know, because we might not have use for each other's services, but we've created a bond which may be useful in the future. So small talk is important, but I give a piece of warning. The one thing we don't ever want to do is to upset people. So I strongly tell people, I don't even recommend, I say, don't ever ask anybody who you've just met two key questions. Are you married and do you have children? Because when you ask the wrong question on the wrong day, you can cause a lot of upset and embarrassment. So you know what, George, I can find out all about you. I'd say, what are you doing this weekend, George? Or what do you do when you're not working? So if you've got family, it's obvious. Or what was your last holiday? Oh, we took the kids to Disney World. All of a sudden, you've given me license to ask how many kids you've got, how old are they, what gender are they? So I can find out about you. And the other thing that we must never talk about, and that should be universal, of course, is politics and religion. If there is one part of networking that I never want you to be proactive in, it's those two topics. So just going back to the book, it tells you what questions to ask. It tells you what questions not to ask. And the other thing it tells you in there is how to follow up. Because a lot of people are what I call networking criminals. They commit the crime of spotting the aha moment and not following it up. If you hear somebody who says, so in my case, you know, I've got a team of people who really, I can't get them to go out. Then they won't go out to events and we want them to. That's the aha moment. So what do? I don't go into selling mode. I say, tell me more about that. You know, why do you think that? What's the reason for it? And if they give me some potential buying signs, I said, now look, George, now isn't the time to discuss this. How about I give you a ring? A ring, by the way, George, you know this?
The phone, yes.
Yeah, unfortunately, the youngsters of today seem to think it's better to type than talk into it. I say, ask permission to call the prospect, not text them, not email them, not WhatsApp them, not TikTok them. Ask permission to call them and try and agree a day or days when you're going to call them. And then when you get home, say, dear George, it was great meeting you. We talked about networking training. As we agreed, I'll give you a call on Wednesday and we'll continue our conversation then. So we go to events to create a platform for the intended message. Your headline, the intended message is no selling, just create an opportunity to sell next week, next month. That's the big message. No selling at the event other than your personality. Really important.
Well, as we prepare to wrap up, if you could give a young and growing business leader one piece of advice, and maybe it's something you've said already, but one piece of advice about how they should approach networking to make it more effective and more successful for them, what might that advice be?
You have to do it two ways, I'm afraid, today. You have to do it face-to-face and online. If you're not on LinkedIn with a decent profile, then you're missing a trick. It's not going to be long, George, before 1 billion people are going to be registered on LinkedIn. I think they're at 900 million at the moment. So you have to be on LinkedIn. And my advice is at least once a week, go out of that office, go to an event. And when I say go to an event, it just might be a one-to-one with a client, a one-to-one with a prospect at Starbucks. Get out of your comfort zone. Go and meet people. That's my strong message.
Powerful message to end on. My guest today is Will Kintish, reminding you that everybody is somebody's somebody.
If you like what you heard, tell your friends and post your 5-star review on Apple Podcasts because that helps more listeners find us. Come back every week for more practical insights to help you deliver your intended message. I'm your host, George Torok.